want to let Selena share with you. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. How many of you realize that most of the portraits that we see, that we think of and depict as the Lord Jesus Christ, are not accurate?
That's right.
Do you realize and understand they're not accurate? The Bible said that there is no beauty in him. There's nothing in him that would make us desire him. But listen, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief, carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But this is the verse I wanted to get to. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah put it in the future. He says, we are going to be healed. But I want you to look at 1 Peter, or listen to 1 Peter. You don't have to go there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible said this, for even hitherto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, whom when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. This is the verse. Who in his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. But listen to what Peter says. Isaiah said, we are healed. Peter said, by whose stripes we were healed. Healing took place for all of us, was paid for at Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
It's always been ours. We have to accept it by faith and believe that God loves us enough to heal us. Sister Selena is a good example of that. Like I said, just a few months ago, we look at her tonight and we would not believe she was in a wheelchair driving a handicapped van with a hydraulic lift to put the chair in, specially made van. But God took care of it. I want her to come tonight and you give her attention as she shares with you what God has done in her life. Sister Selena Villery.
God bless you all tonight. I'm so proud to be here, because anyone that will listen to me, I tell them about what the Lord has done for me. I had three goals this year. The first goal, they were steps in faith. The first goal was to get rid of the ramp in front of our home that Brother LaCroix helped build. We got rid of that. The second step, get rid of the wheelchair. That's gone. The third step in faith was to get rid of that van that I hated so much. It served my purpose. God blessed me with it, but I sure hated it. These last few months, when Carlos and I would go out in it, I would look to the back and it would always remind me of that wheelchair. But praise God, no more. It's gone.
Amen.
You know, when Brother and Sister LaCroix, I'd say probably a year ago, they gave me called us to the church, Carlos and I, and we watched this. It's about a lady named, a young woman named Nikki Oceaninski or something like that. But anyway, if anybody wants to see this, they can borrow it, but please return it because it's mine. It stays on my headboard, and every night I thank God not only for my healing, but for her healing. It's a marvelous thing to watch, the trip that the Lord brought her. The things that God brought her from are just about as unbelievable as the trip that I've been on. First, I compare my life as to the woman who met Jesus at the well. I had been married and divorced before I married Ray Urich, who passed away after 10 years of our marriage. At the time I gave my life to Christ, Carlos and I had been living together. We weren't married for almost a year. It was my fault because I kept dragging my feet. Up to the very day that we got married, I would tell him, I don't want to marry. But anyway, now I thank God for Carlos because I don't think too many men would have stayed with me and walked this road that I have had to walk. He has stuck by me always. I'll give you an example of what I went through on my journey. August 2007, on the 5th to the emergency room, on the 10th to a doctor, the 14th back to the ER, 16th to a doctor, the 17th back to the hospital for testing, the 18th urgent care, the 20th to another doctor, the 23rd doctor, the 30th and the 31st doctor. I can give you names of the doctors if you would like, but that's neither here nor there because I see one once in a great while and that's it. In September, the 4th, a doctor. 10th, 11th, and 12th doctors. The 13th, emergency room. The 17th, tests and back to the doctor. The 21st, endoscopy. And the 25th, again, back to the doctor. That will tell you the kind of life I was living. I mean, my life consisted of doctors, medication, and sleep. These are a few of the things that I had to take. And later on in my testimony, I will tell you some more things that I would have to have done to my body. These were the illnesses that man said I had. God didn't say it, but man did. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, lupus, tremors, interstitial cystitis of the bladder, diverticulitis, spastic colon, migraine headaches, osteoporosis, GERD, pituitary gland in my brain not fully formed, rheumatoid arthritis in my hands and my spine, ruptured discs in my neck, my mid-back, and my lower back, low thyroid, diabetes, and the beginning of MS, allergies, tetracycline, erythromycin, naproxen, Clenarol, Bioxin, Sosin, Flexerol, Bactrim, Diluted, Scalaxin, Datrol LA, Sofran, Prednisone, and Maxitril ointment for my eyes. The doctors had always told me that if I ever got into a real bad situation where I needed some antibiotics, that they had no idea what they could give me because I have all the allergies that I had. Pain medications were morphine tablets, methadone, oxycodone, hydrocodone, and to relax the muscles in my spine, cyclobenzaprin. Some of these are terrible, and they taste terrible too. And I was taking anywhere from 12 to 1600, at times 1800 milligrams of Neurontin. That's an MS medication for you that don't know this. I have some scriptures. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Psalm 6:2, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." Psalms 22:19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me." Psalms 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalms 31:24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." 32:7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And finally, Psalms 46:10-11, "Be still and know that I am God." Now for me, that is a real tough one, because I tend to try and help God along, or want to help him. "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge." Praise God. When I was 5 or 6 years of age, I witnessed two young women bringing the word of salvation in the church where mom and dad attended. One was Hispanic, the other white. I was mesmerized by the fact that the white lady was bilingual, English and Spanish. I can to this day remember her name. Her name was Sister Shelton. That's what they called her. I sat in my seat hanging on her every word. I knew right then what my life's work was to be. I felt a calling from God. And that's why it's important that these little children, that we don't turn them away, that we try and bring them up in the Lord's love and in the Lord's way. I'm sure that was the night I gave my heart to the Lord. Being molested by my mother's father at age 4, I had already started on a road of guilt and disappointment in almost everything. Even at that age, my self-worth was nothing. I never told my mom till the last year she was alive, thinking that I was to blame. When I married Carlos, I confided in him, and he set me straight. The blame was not mine. How could a 4-year-old be to blame or ask to be hurt this way? Yes, I knew that hell is a real place, and this sure scared me. I viewed God as being mean and out to get me. I felt like such a failure and was full of guilt because in my mind, I could not be good enough to serve the Lord. In turn, I went on my own way and did what I wanted to do in life and left my Savior out. What a mistake. If only I could have understood that we come to the Lord as we are sinners. And God has a part of him known as the Holy Spirit that comes into our being and does the work of cleaning up our lives. and leads us into all good things, how different my life would have been. In September of 1988, I began to feel very tired and sick all over. My dad, who was my best friend by this time, had been on dialysis for almost 2 years. I was going through a period of about 3 weeks where I could not seem to get enough sleep. I could not take Dad to his appointments because I just could not stay awake. My doctor was no help. He sent me to Fort Collins, and that's a trip of about 25 miles, to see a specialist. Ray, my husband, then, and I went. Of course, I slept all the way. What frustration he felt because he didn't know how to help me. The doctor was very caring. He ran a barrage of tests and lab work. In less than a week, he had the results, his diagnosis being fibromyalgia. He told me, there is no cure. You are terminal because this disease affects every part of your body inside and out. And believe me, it does. Anybody that is struggling with fibromyalgia, reach out to the Lord before you get into the condition that I was in. All we can do is medicate you to help you get along as you live. I remember asking, how long do I have? He replied, I have no idea, but your productive years of working are over. This could not be happening to me. He had to be wrong. I just knew it. I was certified to do health care. My life's work was helping other people. I was certified through the state. So how could this be happening to me? Here I was a caregiver, and I was going to have to be taken care of. On February 1989, Dad passed away. Though he left a wonderful testimony, to me, God was mean and just wanted to get even with me for a missed calling. My dad had left me, and I hadn't even told him about my illness. At this time, my body seemed to be doing okay as long as I took the handfuls of medications each morning, and some through the day. On August 1992, Ray died. He did not survive his second heart surgery. Once again, I just knew the Lord hated me. I had betrayed me. What was wrong? I prayed once in a while, didn't I? On June 23rd, 1995, I met Carlos. We both knew we would marry, for it was love at first sight. There is such a thing. Sometimes I think he feels sorry about it, but it's too late. You're taken. At the time, I loved to dance, and so did he. We were married on August 3rd, 1996, right here at Harvest Time in Evans, but like I said, we had been living together for almost a month, and boy, did the Lord convict us every time we walked through those doors. By the time we were married, we both had received Christ as our Savior and were in the process of our lives being cleaned up. Oh, what a difference really knowing Jesus made. Carlos was delivered from alcoholism, and both of us were set free from the desire of the bar scene where we went to dance, of course. Praise God for the freedom from sin we felt. Soon the attack on my body began again, but this time I had my Savior to help me. My beloved mom went to be with the Lord in June 1998. What we experienced through the testimony she left leaves no doubt that there is a heaven and she awaits there for us. She left us with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is really real. After this, my body sank deeper and deeper into pain. My whole body was weakening, more medication. By 2004, I was beginning to use a scooter, my legs getting to the point where I could no longer stand for more than 5 to 10 minutes. The pain in my body was so bad, I had to induce sleep with medication every day just to get by. 20 to 30 pills per day became the normal routine, the pain being so horrible. 2005 came. At this time, Carlos and I thought it best to purchase the handicapped van and a new wheelchair to make it easier for me to get around. This purchase was made in Denver, Colorado, about an hour's drive from where we live. Oh, how I cried on the way home. I was so sad with that van. I hated it. I knew I needed it, but I hated it. My life consisted of sleep, doctor appointments, and the only good time, church on Sunday mornings, when I was able to attend. I loved Sunday mornings because I got to help with the worship service, sitting down. And that's the little stool I used to sit on. Many of you remember it. While I'm focusing on that stool, I don't think any of you ever saw me use these crutches because I was really good at hiding what was going on in my body. Very, very good. I thought if I let people know, they will think that there is something wrong in my Christian life. That brace there you see, that's what I had to use in order to support my spine, to kind of give my spine stability so it wouldn't hurt so bad. In between, when I couldn't use that, this is kind of grungy because it's been down in the basement where it's been thrown since I got healed. As time marched on, I prepared to die. My garment bag from the funeral home. This was what I was to wear because it would hide my hands. You all know that I love jewelry. I wrote down a note for Carlos, who was to get what. And I told him, do whatever it takes to get these things to the people that I want them given. He'd look at me funny, but he'd tell me, okay, I will. I even got my dress ready to wear at my funeral. Yes, a lot of anointed ministers prayed for me, but there was no faith on my part to receive my healing. In 2005, a prophet came to Harvest Time from Texas. At the time, I was going blind. I made a bargain with God. The bargain, Lord, I will let you take my legs, but please, I begged, don't take my sight. I can just imagine how the Lord shed tears over my foolishness. I was prayed over and my eyes were healed. I just knew I had been touched. So I went to my eye doctor. She examined my eyes and showed me the macula of my eyes was normal on her screen. Diseased macula in both eyes is what was taking my sight. She told me at some point there had to have been an explosion in the back of my eyes. The macula will not give you any more trouble. She is a Christian, so when I told her I was prayed for, her and I had church right there in her office praising God. I was so happy. I would not go blind. Glory to God. Even if I couldn't walk, I could see. I had been told, memorize hallways, doors, and your furniture in your home so you'll be able to get along. That's how bad my eyes were getting. The rest of my body was something else. My legs and back hurt so much, it was almost intolerable. More medications and trips to the ER to be pumped full of morphine through IVs. This would put me to sleep for days at a time. When I would come to, more medication to try and calm the pain. How I cried out in pain and prayed to die. I literally laid in my bed and I prayed, God, take me home. I literally prayed to die. Now steroid shots in my spine on a weekly basis began. I don't know if you heard about the lady from Casey's Fine Furniture, how they gave her that steroid shot in her spine and it killed her. That's what they were doing to me. It was on a weekly basis. Some weeks, two injections were needed just to deaden the pain I felt. Oh, how I screamed when given the injections, yet welcomed relief for pain. I had had a spinal tap done, and that was nothing. That was a piece of cake compared to these injections. Well-meaning Christians would tell me that God does not heal a little at a time. If he meant to heal you, you would be healed already. I disagreed, though discouraged. I could really relate with Job in the Bible. This is an example of Christian love I would get. One day I went with Carlos to Home Depot. Of course, in my chair, I was in my chair at the time. We ran into the minister that married us. He waited till Carlos was out of hearing range, and he was talking to me about his wife, and Carlos went down another aisle to get light bulbs. He turned towards me and he told me that I had to have some terrible sin in my life and that God was punishing me. He said that I had better repent. Good thing Carlos didn't hear him. I just cried. I started crying and I went out to the van to wait for Carlos. I cried all the way home but would not tell Carlos what I had been told. In 2006, my legs gave out. I fell and broke my left arm. Most of you remember me with a cast. The ulna, which is the big bone in the arm, would take about 5 to 6 weeks to heal. Carlos and I were going for a drive, and I said, Lord, do not heal my arm. He looked at me and told me, quite angry, what is the matter with you? My reply was, just a moment, I'm praying, I'm not through. I prayed, Lord, not a healed bone, but a brand new one. When the cast was removed, the doctor told me, I cannot believe my eyes, but x-rays do not lie. The ulna in your arm appears to have never been broken. Once more, honor and glory to my precious King. September 2007, the prophet from Texas came back, this time to Loveland, a drive of about 15 miles from where we live. Carlos and I went to hear him. I was really stubborn, because I am stubborn. I tend to be stubborn. My cousin Larry can tell you that. I would go to the meetings, but I would not take my wheelchair. It was hard for me to stand, and when we got there, we had to climb about 15 stairs. Carlos half carried me, poor guy. I remember him telling me, see, where is that wheelchair? I'm surprised he doesn't have back troubles. Carlos half carried me. At this time, an MRI had been done on my legs, the spinal injections no longer working to ease the pain. It was discovered my arteries in both legs were clogged up as if cement had been poured into them. The doctor could not detect a pulse or hear the blood flow in my legs. Nothing could be done, he said. If they tried, more harm than good would result. That night I was prayed for. I felt good, and I came home and I slept really, really well. The next night we returned. The prophet had his wife anoint my legs from the knee down with oil and my feet also. He prayed, "Whoever thinks the power of God is not real, I challenge you, open your heart. Open your heart and you will feel it. The power of God hit me like lightning, and down I went. That's the only way I can explain it. Slain in the Spirit of God, I felt tremendous thundering going through my body from head to toe. I was told to expect a warm feeling a little at a time throughout my legs and my feet, because up to this time, you would touch my legs and they were ice cold. My feet were ice cold, and yet I could not stand to wear socks or anything. I hate socks anyway. Toe socks are okay, but not real socks. I was on cloud nine on the drive home because I knew the Lord had touched me. There was no question in my mind. Something was different. Carlos didn't have to help me into the house that night, and I left the wheelchair in the van because the second night we had taken it, but I had refused to take it into the service. Praise God, by the time we got home, I could feel warmth in my legs. I told Carlos, "Get my stethoscope as quick as you can." We could hear the blood flowing and hear the pulse in my legs. We thanked the Lord over and over again, and that night I fell asleep praying in the Holy Spirit. My legs were healed. Praise be to my sweet Jesus. And I was going to bring a stethoscope, but any of you ladies, the ladies are welcome to, whenever you can, come to my home and put my stethoscope on. You can hear the blood just beautifully going through my legs, and you can hear the pulse. In April of this same year, which was 2007, Carlos's mom left us for heaven. I will never forget the way she cried the first time she saw me in that wheelchair. So you see, Carlos and I have a lot waiting for us in heaven. First our Savior, and then our loved ones. How I wish she could have seen me healed. It is now April 2008, and yes, I am walking, I'm standing to help in the worship service at church. Most of all, I am telling anyone who will listen to me about my Savior's love for all of us and about my miracle healings. I have come to know Jesus will work through any of us if we will just yield ourselves to Him. I thank God for men and women that are willing to do His work and willing to obey God and pray for others. I know for a fact that it is not people that can heal. It is God working through them. We are just the Lord's instrument. That is why I do not mention too many names. The praise and the glory belongs all to God, and He is a jealous God. He expects that praise to be given to him and to no one else. Miracles do happen through God according to our faith. He loves us so much that he is willing to help us anytime we call upon his name believing. Had I had the faith of a tiny mustard seed, life would have been so much easier and different for me. I now realize my calling as a child is not lost. It has been fulfilled through my testimony, not because I'm special, but because of God's love and faithfulness. When the doctors are amazed, I tell them my favorite scripture, Psalms 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Remember what the Lord has done for me, he will do for you. Just trust him and know. I know myself, I may die today or next week. Only God knows. The Bible says our lives are but a vapor. I know I will go to see my Jesus completely healed. There have been a number of people that have told me they never thought I would see 2008. Thanks be to my Lord, here I am. God bless you, and thank you for listening to me. Healing is real. I know. I have experienced it. I'm living proof. To God be all honor and praise, both in heaven and on earth. Please remember, we receive miracles not because of who we are, but because of God's love and mercy. When you receive anything from the Lord, share it with others so that their faith may be built up in God. You know, I really think that, and anyone that knows me knows that I'm long-winded.
Amen.
Does that mean quiet down now? But I am long-winded, and I believe one of the reasons why God brought me through this road, along this path that I have gone, and he has given me the victory, is because I will not be quiet about my healing. Anybody, whether it's in a store, whether it's in a doctor's office, anybody that will listen to me, I tell. It's been about 2.5 weeks that I had to go to Denver to have bladder surgery because some doctor here in town really messed up my bladder. So they sent me to a professor, a doctor that teaches doctors. And before I went into surgery, I told the anesthetist and I told two different nurses. And then when the doctor came to talk to us before they took me back to surgery, I told that doctor, I've been praying for your hands. I've been praying for the wisdom that God gave you. And I've been praying for you completely, for all your patients. And do you know what? Another miracle. A surgery that we had been told would take anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 hours took 45 minutes. 45 minutes. And my bladder is completely healed. Yes, I still feel a little bit of discomfort because it was quite an extended surgery. But praise God. Praise God, because the work is done. I would like to sing my song, and all of you know it. It's my favorite song, and Bert will help me on the chorus. When I remember the way I used to be, so far away from Calvary, then I remember felt to pray. I know it happened. I'm no longer the same. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died on Calvary. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died at Calvary. Praise God. When it was over, he hung his head down low. He said, it's finished. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Then I remember that night I knelt to pray. I know it happened. I'm no longer the same. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died at Calvary. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died at Calvary. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died at Calvary. Jesus said, I'm waiting with my arms extended. He did it all for me. He died at Calvary. He did it all for you. He died on Calvary. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Praise the Lord. Fibromyalgia, according to the doctors, is an incurable disease. It's not possible that it be cured. But God's able to cure anything. How many of you know that? Amen? God's able to touch the most desperate cases and to heal them. The Lord loves us tonight. You know, it sends chills down my spine when somebody says what Selena said that preacher told her when she was in Home Depot. I'm here to report to you tonight, according to this Bible, God does not punish you for your sins. Hear me, child of God. He loves you. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross of Calvary. He is not an ogre sitting on a throne in heaven with an iron rod waiting on you to mess up so he can bop you on the head. God loves you. But you've got an enemy out there who's setting traps for you, And if he can get you to believe God hates you, then all the better for him. We need to rightly discern who's trying to destroy us and who's trying to save us. Amen? God is a healing God. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. There's a song, Bert. Healing Jesus. What a healing Jesus. Have you got it or can you do it? All right, replace it with whatever you choose. I want us to stand to our feet tonight. God will honor Selena. God will honor me. God will honor you. Now I want you to understand that life is a preparation for cause Adam brought a curse on it from the Garden of Eden, and it's on you and it's on me. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. This body may lay down, Selena, with some disease or whatever. But the real me and the real you is never going to die. I want you to understand that. You're going to live throughout eternity. Somewhere. The Bible teaches there are two places. One of them is called heaven, in the presence of God, where God's children go to be with him forever and forever and forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have just begun. But there's another place. The Bible talks about it a lot, called hell. I know that in this modern day in which we live, we want to ignore hell and we want to ignore everything about it, but it's real. And there's an account in the Bible where a man went there. And when he got there, the Bible teaches, if you just read the scripture, it's found in the book of Luke. That man could see, he could hear, he could talk, he could feel, he could touch. He had every ability and every sense in hell that he has here on earth. That tells me he's alive. That's what the doctors look for. If you don't have those senses, when you go to the hospital, they pronounce you dead, cover your face with a sheet, and say, he's gone. But if you can touch, feel, hear, talk, see, aha, he's going to make it. But folk, there is a place called hell. And my Bible teaches me there's only one way to escape it. And that's accept the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary when he hung there between heaven and earth and shed his life's blood to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. And included in that sacrifice on that cross was your healing, your deliverance for you and for me. A lot of people teach us that we have to do some kind of fantastic works to keep our salvation, but I'm here to tell you there's only one thing that pays for it. There's only one thing that'll keep it paid for, and that's the blood of the Lord. You can't do enough good works to save yourself. You can't do enough good works to heal, get yourself healed. It's already done. It's already provided for every one of us. So if you're here tonight, I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Christians praying, and you're here tonight. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have never accepted that sacrifice for your sin. We made this testimony into a CD that we're going to put out, and maybe you're listening to that CD today, and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that you can receive him today as a sacrifice for your sin, and you can be saved before you leave this service or before you finish the CD you're listening to. You can be born into the family of God and be as sure for heaven as if you were already there. Maybe you're here tonight and there's something going on within your physical body and you need a touch from God. Maybe there's something that the devil has attacked you with and it's health related. God's able to touch you tonight. God's able to heal you tonight. God's able to deliver you from oppression tonight. He's able to do it all. All you have to do is bring it to Him. I preached to you this morning about Bartimaeus. He was a blind man that came to Jesus, and Jesus says, your faith hath set you free and made you whole. That's what it takes, is faith in the finished work of Calvary, not faith in me. I can't heal you. Selena can't heal you. God can heal you. It's faith in the finished work of Calvary. Our Father, as we come to you tonight, I thank you for this testimony. I thank you for the healing power of God, the saving power of God. I thank you that we have a hope beyond the grave of eternal life. Father, I pray for everyone in this building tonight. I ask you that you touch every heart, walk every pew, touch every heart. Lord, if there's a need in this service, may this be the time that those people bring that need to Jesus and be healed, be delivered, be saved. Whatever the need is, we know you're able to meet that need. Those people that are listening to this on a CD in later months and years, God, I pray for them right now. Maybe they're in the privacy of their own home, but they need a touch. God, I ask you to touch them. And we'll glorify you and praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you need a touch right now from God. As we sing this song, we're going to sing one verse, Bert, of this song. I want you to slip out of your seat and bring whatever that need is that you have in your life to the Lord. Right now, tonight, bring it and come in faith, believing God's going to take action when you get here. Would you do that as we sing? Oh.